The after party starts
right now. What's up, suits? Welcome into another episode of The After Party. My name is Will, and with me, as usual, is my good buddy Nate. What's happening, bud?
So much. I don't know why you asked that question. There is so much happening. Do you actually want me to go into it, or should we progress with the show and then just get in to everything else that's going on in the world of Marvel Crisis Protocol?
Oh yeah, there is definitely a lot going on in Marvel Crisis Protocol lately, and I think that we are about to get into it. We're going to dive deep because, as everyone knows, this version of our podcast is basically our news podcast and also our retrospective podcast for a couple of characters. So the two characters that we're going to be talking about today are going to be the First Ladies of Wakanda, and that is Okoye and Shuri. We're going to be talking about them here very shortly. But right now, there's something else that we gotta do. So, Nate, that music sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Yeah, so last night, Will Shit got on Twitch for, 10 minutes?
Not even. It was a short, to-the-point, fantastic stream that revealed, of course, you can't even reset the clock anymore. The clock is broken. It's here. The X-Men are coming.
The X-Men are coming, and I'll be damned if we don't reset that clock until we get the Fantastic Four. I'll be damned. I'll just say it.
Who cares about the Fantastic Four? It's all Doom.
Well, okay, Doom is not exactly in the Fantastic Four, but he's like Fantastic Four adjacent. So there you go.
When the Fantastic Four come out, Dr. Doom will come out.
Exactly.
And that's who I care about.
Exactly. So we will continue to reset that clock, even though Schick said, throw the clocks away. They no longer need to be reset, which I thought was great. And I know that I didn't come up with that, but at the same time, I felt really good about about the fact that he mentioned that. And I one day, I hope we get a superpower or a tactics card that has that on there.
That would be quite cool. Maybe something on Heimdall. That would be pretty on point, I think.
Oh, yeah, indeed. So Nate, we saw quite a lot of characters revealed, but what we didn't see was something that I think a lot of people were expecting or maybe even somewhat hoping for, and that was a new core set. How do you feel about that?
Mixed emotions. I've got a video coming out tomorrow that is talking all about the stream, and I'll probably go a bit further into detail there. But I think there's pros and cons with this. The first major con, the biggest con and the biggest disappointment, I think, to everybody here is the cost. We can easily expect, I think, these four expansions to be about $40 a piece. There's no giant models. There's no like Ant-Man tiny models or anything like that. So I think $40 a piece for each of these is very reasonable, at least compared to what they've already been putting out, which means we're going to have $160 worth of stuff drop in a single month.
Yeah.
Man, that would have been nice to be a $100 core box.
Yeah, and it's funny that you say a single month, because Schick said as a when to expect them was fourth quarter. I could see them staggering two in another, maybe.
I almost wouldn't mind it, but I also fully expect them to drop as fully playable affiliations.
Yeah.
And so I don't see them dropping Storm and Cyclops with Toad and Magneto, and not being able to have that a fully rounded out affiliation there. And also because he mentioned multiple times the anniversary of the game, which is November, I think we see all four of them drop in a single month.
Yeah, you make a good point.
I would almost prefer if they did do, like, hey, here is Wolverine, Sabretooth, Cyclops, Storm, and then next month we get Toad, Magneto, Beast, and Mystique, since she's likely to be the second affiliation leader.
Yeah, and I think that that's actually the way to do it. It would be just release one affiliation first and then the other one second. I think that would be quite nice, personally. And I'm with you.
My wallet would appreciate it.
Yeah, and I'm with you on the fact that, like, the slight disappointment in the fact that it wasn't a core set, just because I wanted some more maybe X-themed movement tools and stuff like that. Granted, you can go to Kago 2 and get some of their sweet movement tools. And we have a giveaway going on right now with a Thanos model and a Kago 2 tray and Thanos-themed movement tools to carry all that sweet, sweet stuff in. And you can go to our Facebook page, make sure to like our Facebook page, leave a comment, and also leave a message for us with a secret code. There's going to be a new secret code in every episode. And this episode's secret code is, of course, mutants. Because why not, right, Nate?
Gasp. No, makes sense. Understandable.
Right. So make sure to shoot us a message with mutants as our secret code. Go check out our giveaway. Make sure to like the Facebook page, comment, and that's going to run for a few more days, about 10 more days, I think. So, yeah, check that out. And now, I got to say, yeah, so the core set would have been cool, especially from a price perspective, but, you know, you got to make games, you know? You got to make your money, so I respect that, and at least we're getting them. And I really, really, really loved what Schick said about it. He was like, look, and this is not a direct quote, but essentially it was, if we did another core set, we would be, it's not a sister game. This is all Marvel Crisis Protocol. And we just want these characters to fit right in so that people can pick up what they want and start playing. And
yep.
Realistically, you don't have to own the core set to play this game. Like, you get a lot of really great tactic cards and stuff that come with the core set, sure.
Cards. I think actually at this point, you still do need to have the core set to play the game because you don't have a third secure crisis card, right?
True.
Granted, I'm sure that's going to be fixed as soon as we get the Web Warriors and stuff, but that is a so much more expensive way to go about getting everything you need to play the game. Still highly recommend the core set.
Absolutely. I was not trying to say that you shouldn't buy the core set. I just think that you can make a case.
You do not have to.
Right, for not needing it. And as we go through the life of this game, it's going to become more and more possible that you don't need it. For instance, I mean, you can buy the movement tools, the dice, all that stuff individually now. So, or you could do that at launch. So anyways, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to continue to talk about our sweet, sweet X-Men. So who are you most excited for?
Man, probably Magneto.
Yeah, why is that?
So, not necessarily, like, granted, a large part of it is because I love the character, I love the comics, had a great run where he had, like, a little mutant fan, like, just somebody who was a huge fan of Magneto following him around. It was a great run. But the thing I am so interested by is these two extra bases that just have scrap metal on them. And I'm so interested to see how that's going to work in the game. And I think that in part, and I'm going to tie this into, I think the major pro for this not being a core set is they didn't have to hold any, they didn't have to, like, restrain themselves to keeping superpowers or attacks or anything very simple. Whereas we look back at the core box, I have nothing against any of the characters in there except maybe Iron Man a little bit. But all of those are pretty straightforward characters. We didn't have any, like, Lokis with a trickster ability that's a little bit more complicated right to deal with. Magneto having two bases of scrap metal that he can maybe either just pop down onto the board when he wants to as a superpower, then maybe they provide cover. I have no idea what these are going to do, but I'm so excited to learn because it's something new, and I think he's going to be the most fun character to play around with and learn.
Yeah, I think that that's very intriguing, and I hope it's something where he just kind of like always has those and gets to throw them. Probably not, that'd be too ridiculous, but I don't care. I love it. I'm excited. And another thing, the character I'm most excited for is probably Wolverine. Just I grew up a huge Wolverine fan, but also Sabretooth. Like, I really love Sabretooth. And I like both of these sculpts. I saw someone on our Facebook post commented that they didn't really like the Sabretooth sculpt, and I asked them why, and they haven't gotten back to us just yet at the time of this recording, but I can see it. You know, he's kind of looks like he's dropping down, and, you know, it's got the tactical rock, so that's always fun. But it kind of looks like he's, like, dropping down onto something, which I think is kind of what the intent is. So I don't mind it.
I saw somebody say that it was a ballerina pose, which I chuckled internally. But personally, I'm a fan. But I'll let you finish since Wolverine is your bae.
Yeah. So, you know, I love that. And the thing I'm most excited about is the fact that it came Wolverine, Cyclops, Beast they're all getting two heads. So you can really get some customization options. Look, I'm going to do mine with a mask, and I'm going to do mine with the Frank Miller color scheme. So we can just go ahead and put that to bed right now. That's happening. But
very nice. I'm doing mask as well. I'll probably stick with the blue and yellow, though. I like that classic look.
Yeah, no, I respect that. And I can't wait to see what people come up with this when they're painting it. But I'm so excited for Wolverine. But I think the best sculpt in the whole reveal, well, that's the thing, they're all so good, but Storm, holy shit, that sculpt looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
With the lightning bolts and everything, like, oh my god.
Yeah, her and Magneto are very close to one another for me. I will not choose favorites until I have them in my hands.
Yeah, I'm choosing a favorite right now.
Those are definitely the top two there.
Storm looks amazing. And then Beast holding on to, like, that rafter, like that... That Atomic Mass Games is what we wanted our original core set Spider-Man to be doing.
That's fair, yeah.
You know? Like, come on. All right. So anyways, yeah, I'm super stoked for this. They did say that the sweet terrain board that they showed off there was a custom piece, so unfortunately, we are not getting that terrain, but maybe we'll get some Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters terrain at some point. I know someone out there is probably already firing up their 3D printers to make it.
Yep, it would not surprise me if Steve O'Boyle from Corvus Games is on top of it.
Indeed. So, yeah, X-Men reveals. And guess what? Suits. We have more reveals to come during this Gen Con online weekend, right, Nate?
Yep, they've already this morning shown us a fantastic looking Punisher sculpt, and we should have at least seven more characters that we have not yet seen to be revealed, according to the Gen Con online website that Atomic Mass Games has going.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome, and that Punisher looks so great, so menacing, so strong, just... all of it just looks so good, and I can't wait to see how they implement him in the game. Like, I wonder if he's going to be similar to Bucky, you know, how he's like kind of tactical, and I wonder if he's going to be kind of a rogue agent type thing. I'm very curious. What do you think?
I don't think he's going to get rogue agent. I see him more as like maybe having a lone wolf role, where if he doesn't have any allied characters within a certain distance of him, maybe he gets a reroll or something like that.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. I could see that. That would be fun.
He's not usually a team player.
Yeah, definitely usually not. But yeah, that looks so... It's such a cool sculpt. And I like how he's got a grenade in his hand. Did you notice that?
Yep, we'll have explosive.
Yeah! And, oh man, that grimace. It's just so good. I'm so excited. And he has a tactical bag instead of a tactical rock.
Yep, that's also very cute. Now
you just referred to Punisher as cute.
I did. It's very cute. Forget the skull. That's just a giant Hello Kitty on his chest for me
obviously,
to paint.
Obviously.
Forget black. Pink.
Pink. Only pink.
And now I'm actually thinking about doing this, and it's going to be hilarious. But I do want to sidetrack you. I know we've got plenty to talk about. Looking at that amazing bridge that Schick had behind him during this stream, and if you guys have not seen this, go watch. You'll know what I'm talking about. There were at least three characters that we have not seen before on that bridge.
Yes.
We had somebody standing in between Doc Ock and Green Goblin at the tippity top.
Yep, top left.
Who did you think that was?
I...
Do you have any guesses? Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I know the model you're talking about. It was just, I tried zooming in. It was just too blurry for me to really make a judgment call on that. I mean, I would assume that it is someone in the Spider Foes that we haven't seen yet. And it definitely didn't look black and red to indicate Carnage. So that would lead me to believe...
It almost looks like a little bit of a bulkier model, right?
Right. That would lead me to believe it's possibly Kingpin or maybe Mysterio.
I was thinking Mysterio. I think I saw some green up there, maybe a little bit of purple. But most importantly, the area where the head is, it looked kind of like a gray-white. So maybe that was his well-known orb head.
Yeah, maybe. And I hope that that's what it was. I hope we get that reveal this weekend.
We certainly can hope. The other character, one of them was, we could barely even make out their base as they were hiding behind the tower, so I can't speculate too much there. But at the top on the other side, we had the Web Warriors. We had Peter Parker out in front, then Miles, then a question mark, and then Spider-Gwen.
Yeah, who did you think that one was?
Man, I'm hoping Black Cat.
Yeah?
It looks like somebody is launching themselves off of a pole. That definitely looks like their color scheme follows black and white. And so my guess, because there's a lot of white up at the top, maybe that's Black Cat's kind of like fur ruffle that she has up there. And if it's not Black Cat, just maybe I can cross my fingers and hope it's probably not actually them because it's probably Black Cat, but maybe Flash Thompson?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, a little Agent Venom would be – that'd be spicy.
That would be mighty spicy. We know that it's a black and white color scheme. And it also – either one of those two could make a lot of sense to not show up on a Web Warriors affiliation card right now because this thing was supposed to have been released back in, like, what, December?
Yeah, this was supposed to be one of the – like the second or third release, yeah.
So they're supposed to come out with Venom. And they didn't, which is fine. Stuff happens. But they haven't, aside from Angela, really hinted at further characters down the line until we see this Spider-Foes card that has all these different characters. So if we were to get another Web Warrior, maybe coming with Carnage or maybe coming with Mysterio or something, we wouldn't know about it. And it looks like they had very specifically lined up the Spider-Foes versus the Web Warriors up top there.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely looks that way. And that would make sense considering the way those characters are in the comics. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that'd be pretty cool. I know your heart is on that Agent Venom, and I certainly can't wait for that. I think Black Cat would be pretty awesome. And I hope we see both of those characters down the line. And I hope we see some more characters here shortly. So I would say definitely stay tuned into our Facebook page. We'll share whatever Atomic Mass Games shares. Or just check out Atomic Mass Games, follow them on Twitter, on Facebook, all that good stuff. So
there's plenty of news coming out this weekend.
So yeah, it's going to be a lot, and I'm excited, and it's going to be wonderful. And speaking of other things that are wonderful, let's talk about these wonderful ladies that we have here. So let's start with Okoye, because I think Shuri's the one that's going to take the most time, maybe. And Nate, before playing any games, what were your thoughts on Okoye?
She looked like a good all-rounder for a two-threat character. Looked like she had a little bit of attack power backing her up with her bigger attack that has the flurry on it. She's got the spear thrust for longer range. She's got bodyguard. She's got rerolls. Just kind of a pretty good, not excellent at anything, but a good all-rounder for two threat.
Yeah, I'd say I agree with that. Like, pretty solid. You know, Black Widow from the core set and Okoye were the first two threat characters we got in the game, and they serve very different roles. Okoye can ramp the damage with her vibranium spear thrust because of that mm-hmm. flurry. She can do some damage, and it has a wild pierce, so it can really get up there. And so I think that she's a secret damage dealer, but she's really good at kind of just messing up things, is the way I would kind of say that she does really well. She doesn't really play objective too well, but she keeps your heavy hitters alive very nicely. You know what I mean?
Yep. And if she is not she doesn't excel at objective play like somebody like Black Widow or core Black Widow does, but it still feels a lot better to leave her on a back point than leaving somebody like Killmonger on a back point to score those points, which is still a very important role in the game.
Exactly. So next thing is, what surprised you once you got her on the table?
How important her bodyguard ability is.
Ooh, buddy.
Like, we know it's on Cap, and when we look at Cap and see the bodyguard, it is Cap tanking the damage and still standing because he can do this all day, and it annoys the crap out of your opponents. Okoye's bodyguard is not quite as durable as Cap's bodyguard, but when you time it for the right attack to choose to bodyguard, it can really mess up your opponent's plans.
Absolutely. I have had Okoye tank some huge shots before, and again, like you said, timing is everything. So if you time, if Thor's coming in to do his strike against one of your heavy hitters, and Okoye is standing there, okay, she might get thrown, but she's also likely to get dazed before that throw can happen, right? Because is the throw before damage is dealt, or is it after? It's
before damage is dealt, so she would still get thrown.
Still get thrown, but still, she can tank that damage and keep one of your other hardier characters alive.
Well, what's also really important, especially with the example that you just set up there, let's say it's Thor, he does a 4 Asgard and is going into Killmonger. Okoye bodyguarding that doesn't just keep Killmonger alive, but if Okoye is behind Killmonger, Okoye can't get thrown into Killmonger like Killmonger get thrown into Okoye. And most importantly, is Killmonger then avoids that stagger condition that Thor so often puts out when he does a 4 Asgard.
Exactly. So it's her bodyguard is primo. And for 2 threat, I mean, like, I personally love running Okoye in Avengers just to stand next to a heavy hitter. And you can always run the risk of being thrown away or thrown into someone, so you can't use that bodyguard, but that's why you have to think about that kind of thing and you have to plan that out. But she has been a staple in my rosters, especially when I'm trying to play Avengers, just because she's so cheap and just the ability to tank damage that she has is amazing. And then you throw in her General of the Dora Milaje, and she can reroll 1 die on her attack or defense rolls, and it's pretty good. Like, for a 2-threat character, she stays alive pretty decently.
Yep, you have to dedicate resources to taking her out or dealing with her if you're worried about the bodyguard. You have to take it into account, which is just an annoying thing to play into.
Exactly. So, Nate, we just said that what does she do well? I think that what surprised us and what does she do well is kind of all wrapped into one there, because what she does well for me is just she just helps the strong characters stay alive and gives them a bit of support, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
What about for you? Would you say that's pretty much what she does?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, again, she isn't excellent at any one particular task, but her just being kind of an all-rounder is what makes her good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are her faults, though?
I don't really have any against her, man. Again, she doesn't, I guess if anything, it's that she doesn't excel at any one task. But when you're only doing that for two threat, it's not a huge cost. Maybe the downside is that she's not in any of these larger affiliations that really need a two threat character.
Yeah.
Like Cabal would love if she was had the Cabal affiliation or something, but I can't find a reason to, I can't really hold anything against her. She does what she is supposed to do, and yeah.
No, I completely agree. I think that she, for a two threat character, she doesn't have too many faults. Like the only fault you could say is that she only has four health, but she's two threat. So like, okay. Okay, Okoye. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, no, and even then she has some natural defensive abilities in there to help with the four threat. Her defenses are pretty decent for a two threat character.
Yeah, she's solid, dude. She's solid. And
the only character that is more healthy than she is Nebula, and Nebula can't play that role that she can of holding down a back objective for two threat.
Exactly. So the next question is, would you say that Okoye is the best two-threat model in the game?
No.
Okay.
I cannot, because I think because she is extremely versatile, it is very helpful, and she's able to fill a lot of roles. But I think if you have a particular game plan in mind, each character, especially as we get more and more specified characters that are good for a certain task, and as we get more affiliations that fit with those certain tasks, like Nebula is that damage dealer.
Yeah.
Black Widow is that objective getter. Rocket is that long range threat. And Okoye kind of does all of those things. But if I know, hey, I'm playing Black Order and I'm looking to take out my opponents, there's zero chance that I'm taking Okoye over Nebula.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that. So
would you say that she is the best two-threat character out right now?
For me, yes. Because she is so versatile. Because you can put her into any role and still be successful. I think, like, she can, like you said, hold a back objective. She can pick up an extract and be okay with it. You know what I mean? She can put out some damage when she needs to. She's only rolling four dice on two of her attacks, and we all know my opinions on four dice. It's not great, but it's also not awful, given the, especially when you target the right character. And with her Vibranium Spear Thrust, she's just automatically going to gain one power, and it's range four. So that gets her to that that's Vibranium Spear Blast, and then Vibranium Spear Thrust is four power. So it costs a lot, but you can reliably get there. And then you put that flurry on there, maybe get some rerolls, different ways in this game that you can get rerolls. So I think that just from a versatility perspective, Okoye is the best, but I think that you can't just look at it from a blanket, all right, all round number one, two threat character. I think, like you said, it makes a lot of sense to look, especially at these two threat characters, as specialists in this game. And Okoye is the jack of all trades specialist character, if you will, whereas what you characterize Rocket, Nebula, and Black Widow as is exactly on point. But I personally have a lot of good feelings for Okoye, just because I want my two threat character. I want you to take out a two threat character instead of a four, five, or three threat character. You know.
Yep, it is. What are you paying into to take this character out versus what you paid for it?
Exactly. So for me, she is the best two-threat character in the game, just because, as you know, Nate, and I'm sure the listeners out there know, but I'm not really sure if they do or not, I value versatility. I value flexibility within my rosters and lists and play styles more than anything else. Well, I mean, you know, obviously playing the game, but you know what I mean. Like,
I know what you mean. You like winning still.
Exactly. I do like to win, and I like to be able to be flexible in that. So what's your favorite question, Nate? I know you've got it on tap.
Always. So she's been out for a while now. With that in mind, looking at her, do you think that she's gotten any better, worse, or stayed about the same over these past 8 months?
Honestly, I think that she has stayed exactly the same. There's no worse, no better, not even in little bits one way or the other, because there's not been another character that fits her role of just all-round helping the team and other people survive and stuff like that. Like, there's just been no one that kind of fills that role for me. So I think she's kind of right where she needs to be, which is pretty good. Like, I think if we go back and do a tier list soon, which we will, but if we go back, she's probably a B tier character, in that would be like your tier of very specialized stuff, but still likely to make my roster anyways. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
I know what you're talking about. I think she's gotten only a little bit worse, and it's not that she's actually any worse for wear, because nobody has, as you said, done everything. But she was a good damage dealer for two threat before we saw Nebula and before we saw Rocket. So I think less rosters are running her now than they would have before those other characters came out, because they do what those rosters are trying to do better.
Yeah, but they're otherwise missing out. They're missing out not running Okoye.
Yeah. So I and again, that's not really even to say that she's worse. I do think that she is now less used, just because where there wasn't as many options, now there are just a few more options.
Yeah, no, I'm with that. So last thing about Okoye is affiliations. So I think she fits really well with Avengers. Being able to bodyguard for one is primo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she fits super great with Cabal. She could, because being able to tank some damage for a MODOK or a Red Skull or any of these other characters would be very beneficial. But I don't see her benefiting from that leadership as much, just because she is only rolling four dice on attacks, most mm-hmm. of her attacks anyways. So I don't see that being the best. Asgard, you know, if Asgard's not a bad idea, simply because you could keep a tanky character alive and she's only two. So you could fit her into an Asgard squad pretty well, I think.
Yep. A good flex position, being able to bodyguard in that team where you have all these higher threat characters and higher priority targets for your opponent, being able to distract an attack from Ella when she just needs that one last soul before getting KO'd or something is huge.
Exactly. Exactly. You nailed it right there. And then, let's see, with Guardians, I mean, she could do okay with Guardians because of Flurry if you give her a Winging It token, but I don't really think she fits in there. I think they've already kind of got what they need.
Yep, they've already got two threat characters. If you're just wanting to go absolute spammy, sure, throw in there, but I don't think that's where she excels.
Agree. I don't think she fits really well in Black Order, even though I could see that being interesting. Like, if you don't take Thanos with any stones, throwing Okoye in there as, like, his little personal bodyguard would be kind of fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea of that. And then, obviously, she fits in Wakanda. She's obviously amazing in Wakanda. Getting access to more rerolls is definitely going to help her. And then, interestingly enough, I think she might be interesting in Web Warriors. Now, technically, Web Warriors isn't out just yet, but we know what that affiliation is. So I feel like we can speak to it. And I think that'd be pretty interesting, even though I think that they already have what they need in a lot of ways, and she doesn't really fit the fast play style that I think Web Warriors wants to play. But being able to just stay, you know, just tanking damage at only two threat, I just think is, and having those rerolls if she's contesting an objective could be huge.
Yep, especially because she is one of the few characters that is going to naturally have a way to reroll her attack dice as well, and being able to reroll attack rolls that have that failure in there while contesting, I think she's going to make a very potent web warrior.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think that's going to be like the secret sauce of the web warriors is throwing Okoye in there.
And her and Zemo are going to do wonders in that affiliation.
Yes. Yeah. So, and then the spider foes, probably not.
Yeah, no, she's not a character that's generating tons of power, so she's not going to be trying to modify your opponent's attack dice a lot or anything like that.
Yeah, so final thoughts on Okoye.
Good all-rounder.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't sleep on Okoye. That's my final thought on her. Just don't sleep on her because she's kind of overlooked, I think, these days.
All right. That's fair.
Next character for today, we have Shuri. Oh, Shuri. Shuri has made the rounds in Marvel Crisis Protocol. So before playing, though, Nate, what were your thoughts on Shuri?
I thought she was going to be a good objective player. That was about it. I knew that her Panther Gauntlet's attack was going to be a very powerful effect to have in the game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that I thought she was going to be a strong character, but I kind of underestimated just how strong of a character. I thought she was going to be good at controlling, but I didn't think it was going to be as ubiquitous. I didn't think she was going to be as universal in Marvel Crisis Protocol as she has become. So What surprised you once you got her on the table?
Two things surprised me. Her ability to be a battery for the team, meaning that she gathers power and doesn't have too many uses for that power for herself. Because she was getting that guaranteed one off of her six dice attack. And then the odds are if she rolls six dice, she'll probably get a failure. And then that failure gets her another power. So just getting two of those off at range five, you're looking at least four power return then probably, including her one. So she's able to generate a lot of power for tactics cards and stuff like that. But the thing that I completely underestimated is her upgrades ability and helping her teammates reroll dice for that consistency.
Mm-hmm. Me too. That is very much what surprised me the most is how useful upgrades is. One of the things I like about upgrades though is so her Panther Gauntlets is a range 5 attack. So you think, oh, well, I'm going to just make sure I keep Shuri out at range 5 and just push people all over the map, which I do quite a bit. But also, you want to make sure that you keep her in upgrades range of the rest of your team, which is range 4, just because that upgrades is so potent, being able to help the team. Like, she's she's a walking, moving tactics card that doesn't leave the table until it's removed. If you think about it.
Pretty much.
Like, that's, I love it. I love it. So, I think she's really great with that. It surprised me just how strong her control elements are in this game. So when we had the core set, we had a few control elements in there. Spider-Man specifically had, you know, web line where he could pull people towards him, or it's still a push, but you know what I mean. So,
yep.
But we didn't have anything that would push people away consistently. So Iron Man has it on a wild, but Shuri just naturally push away short. And oh my God, like it works out so good. And I used it to great effect on Loki. So to keep Loki out of range for the Loki bubble, I used Shuri. It was amazing. Like I would just push Loki out of the way and now no more Loki bubble. I can do everything I want to do with all my superpowers. It was awesome.
Yep, very, very strong. You go with her last, push people off of objectives. Lots of ways to use her, and I think that's why she is the most universal character we have in the game so far.
Agree. So what does she do well, Nate?
I think we've already covered it a little bit here, but objective play and support.
Yeah, I think that like Okoye, Shuri is one of the most well-rounded three threat characters that we have in the game. And she's not going to put a ton of damage out with Panther Gauntlets, but she's going to control the shit out of the board. Then, if you do get close to her and she does have four power, which, like you said, very likely, you're going to get Sonic crushed. And that is a strong attack. So, yeah, I think she's really just a really great all-around character and a really strong control piece. What she does well is control and support. So, what do you think, though, are her biggest faults? Does she have any?
She falls over real easy. and it's a fault that a lot of these three threat characters that don't have any kind of defensive ability built in and just have these threes across the board on defense with only five stamina. And realistically, it's that she can fall over really easily. I've had Hawkeye been able to just take her out in either one or two shots very easily. Zemo, I've seen move, charge, take out a Shuri. And I've also seen similar characters, Gamora, who else is a five health, three threat, threes across the board. I guess Star-Lord on his injured side, Valkyrie on her injured side. There's just so many characters that can fall quite easily. And I think this is what keeps her balanced, is that she can get dazed and knocked out without too much effort being put into her.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that you have to, when you're playing against her, you have to try to get to her, because if you don't, she's just going to be manipulating things in such a way that's just going to make the game a lot harder for you and a lot easier for your opponent. So, yeah, I think her fault is that she dies fairly easily, but at the same time, I don't really see that as a true fault in terms of character design. Like, I think there's other characters that have, like, faults. Like, Hulk has a fault. You know what I mean? So
yeah, there is something that is inherently not great about the character that feels more than just like, oh, well, it keeps the game balanced.
Right, and with her, I agree.
And
with
I think Shuri, yeah.
Yeah, she's got the balance is the fact that she is only three threat and that she can be dealt with relatively easy. But you put her in the right affiliation, as we'll talk about soon, and that might not be so easy anymore. But go ahead, Nate, with your favorite question.
So where do you think she lands on the spectrum of getting worse, getting better, or staying about the same?
I think she's gotten a little worse. And I say that because I think the way she's gotten worse is that just there's more stuff to deal with her.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much that she as a character is like that question is just so interesting to me, because nothing has changed, obviously, with the character. There's no tactic cards that have come out that have made the character inherently better or worse. It's just that when Shuri came out, the ways to deal with her were limited. And now I think you have, like you mentioned, Hawkeye. And we've seen so much of Shuri that we're kind of more understanding of how to deal with her. But especially Hawkeye coming out has really helped. A character like Rocket really helps deal with Shuri. So, like, I think that it's just, there's just more ways to get around what she does well. Characters like Gamora, who have an out-of-action short move, can help. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
just characters that are able to be mobile and either get in her face to finish her off, like Zemo. Gamora, you mentioned, with that long move and an Assassin's Leap. As well as these, we're actually just seeing more characters with a range 5 attack that can push her down.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think it's just, she's just gotten slightly worse. But what about you? What do you think about that?
I think she stayed about the same, because while we have seen characters that are beginning to able to deal with her better, there are also more characters coming out that she can just completely neutralize on the board. Any of these characters that only move short, each of her attacks is essentially a stagger, which is devastating.
Yeah.
So characters like Black Dwarf, or even some of these longer range characters that can move a little bit quicker, but still just get neutered by not having some extra mobility or extra ranged attacks. I've had Shuri completely neutralize Ronin for a game.
Oh, wow.
While he just kept getting pushed further and further back. So each turn he had to move and take a pot shot to try to get some damage on her. And he got a little bit of damage, but that's all Ronin was doing for the entire game. And that's a very successful Shuri.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. So I do think that she's still a very strong character. And considering that we both had her as S tier, take her every list, no matter what, almost before, I think bumping her down, she's still S tier. That's the thing. Like, she's still S tier. She was so high in terms of what she did for the team that it's hard to say that she's lost something. But I guess that it's like, to me, it's just a little bit less just because she can be dealt with. But I see where you're coming from with the stay the same thing, because she's still wonderful.
Yep. She's still good. As many answers have come out, there's as many things that she now answers. But I think the main thing that helps keep her in that S tier, and maybe we finally have a release that debunks her a little bit with Spider-Gwen, I think it's just too early to tell, is we don't truly have any other character that is there to support the team. Zemo has a little bit of it with his reroll bubble.
Yeah, but it's only range two, which is dangerous.
Yep, which is that means like pairs really well with Captain America because they want to be within range two of each other and all that kind of stuff. But he also has to like charge out to the front lines to be of any use. He can't stay back and help your MODOKs and Shuris just blast away and still be optimal himself.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And speaking of affiliations, you mentioned Spider-Gwen, so I'm going to start there. Put Shuri in Web Warriors, people.
Yep.
Do it.
Like, no reason to not.
Seriously, like, I think people, I saw a lot of people were underwhelmed with Spider-Gwen, and it's like, okay, that's fair. I think she's going to be an interesting character, but it's fair.
What? She's going to be great. She's the only other semi-support character that we are getting in this game who has a ton of versatility. But
I agree with you.
I will
but
hold my tongue.
You saw the Discord and the Facebook group, and there was a lot of underwhelming things. Sorry, my son just totally snuck up on me and scared me. Freaked me out for a second because I was not expecting it, and I was deep in the throes of talking about affiliations. And anyways, yes, there was a little bit of hate out there. I saw it. I witnessed it. I didn't agree with it, but whatever. And I do think, though, that you could make the case for dropping Spider-Gwen out of your Web Warriors and putting Shuri in. I don't necessarily think that that's who you want to drop, but I think that...
I think you have them both.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the Shuri, Spider-Gwen, Miles, Peter combo is going to be very interesting. Very interesting, personally. And I think that you put Shuri in Web Warriors, you put her on an objective, or you give her an extract and then run her away. Oh my God. Like, she's going to be so strong. So hard to kill. I think.
No, I think she'll still... She will have the same level of difficulty to finish off. I don't think the one reroll on defense... It's helpful, but it's not going to help her just under the weight of dice that some characters can throw at her.
True. But I think where she's really going to shine is with throwing out the upgrades for the rest of the team.
Oh, yeah.
Being able to
help reroll skulls. So those dice that like otherwise she just cannot help in other teams is going to make her a very valuable piece.
Yes, totally agree. So with the rest of her affiliations, obviously she likes playing in Avengers, I think. When I say obviously, She likes playing in Avengers. She likes playing in Cabal. She likes playing in everything except maybe Guardians.
Maybe Guardians. Maybe. But even then, she's good just about everywhere.
That, right.
She plays this role of a support character that most affiliations do not have any semblance of, and so it's what makes her so universal.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, final thoughts on Shuri.
She is a fantastic objective player on her own, and tied with that a fantastic support that she's able to offer with the upgrades ability. I still believe that she doesn't necessarily have to make it into every single roster at this point, but nobody is going to be like, oh man, what's Shuri doing in there?
Yeah, no, I think that's 100% accurate. It's, what are you doing with Shuri over there? No, you better not, because she's awesome.
You bring Crossbones outside of the Cabal, okay, like what are you planning on doing there? But Shuri is a very understandably universal piece at the moment.
Yes, and speaking of Crossbones, this just has me chuckling. I saw somebody on the Facebook group talking about how they expect Toad to kind of be like Crossbones and just not be very good. But people are like, oh, the cult of Crossbones. And then other people are like, I can't remember what they said, but they were like,
Toad Gang.
Yeah, Toad Gang and the cult of Crossbones. And somebody was like, you can only be one or the other. You can't be both.
Yeah, Josh, I saw that thread. Josh is the head priest of the cult of Crossbones. Had him on to talk about his Cabal roster and all that kind of stuff. And it's very funny to see him getting called out about he has to choose one side or the other. But I think Toad will be a much more of a Black Widow kind of character than a Crossbones kind of character. So I think he will still be quite valuable to the Brotherhood.
I agree. So with that, make sure to send us messages on our Facebook page at House Party Protocol Podcast. Also send us emails at houseparty_protocol_pod@gmail.com. Make sure to check out our giveaway. Don't forget our secret code word for today's episode is mutants. Mutants. Yes, mutants. It's going to be so good. I'm excited. Can't wait to see all the messages from everyone listening on that. That's going to be great. And then also, make sure to check out blacksitestudio.com and use promo code HOUSEPARTY15 to get 15% off your single item orders. Really great terrain over there. I love it. I use a lot of it when I play. So make sure to check that out and keep it locked in right here. Make sure to like and subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're on. And if you have the ability, please, 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 please leave us a 5-star review. Even if you hate us, leave us a 5-star review and then write in the text that you hate us. But either way, we would really appreciate that. It really helps with algorithms and getting us seen by other people out there looking for Marvel Crisis Protocol content. Nate, where can people find you?
Guys, you can find me over on YouTube at The Gamers Guild. It is a channel that is dedicated currently only to Marvel Crisis Protocol, all of their announcements, releases. It's got battle reports, reviews, even a couple of how-to videos now. So please go and check that out. Hit subscribe if you have enjoyed the content over there. And looking forward to seeing what the rest of this 1-year anniversary holds for the game.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting. And with that, party on, Nate.
Party on, Will.